mighty came down and walked among men. The wonder of wonders, he died for my sin. The wonder of wonders, as she heard his small cry, that this little voice had thundered on Mount Sinai. The hand that she held so tenderly had made a dry path through the mighty Red Sea. The wonder of wonders, oh, how could it be that God was made flesh and was given for me? The Almighty came down and walked among men. The wonder of wonders, he died for my sin. The wonder of wonders, as she looked down and smiled, that he was her maker as well as her child. He created the womb that had given him birth. He was God incarnate, come down to the earth. The wonder of wonders, oh, how could it be that God was made flesh and was given for me? The Almighty came down and walked among men. The wonder of wonders, he died for my sin. The wonder of wonders, as a father looked on, in eternity past, this was his son, had sent him to die on Calvary's tree. And that is the wonder of wonders to me. The wonder of wonders, oh, how could it be that God was made flesh and was given for me? The Almighty came down and walked among men. The wonder of wonders, he died for my sin.
Amen. Every time somebody messes up on a song, I always look at their shoes, see what kind of shoes they're wearing. If they ain't wearing the wrong kind of shoes, I understand why they messed up. When these girls wear these little elf-looking things, it's a wonder if they can sing at all. And then Uggs, boy, if they named a pair of boots right, they named Uggs right, because they are the ugliest thing I think I've ever seen.
Just be glad she ain't barefoot.
Glory to God. You say, why would you say that kind of stuff? Well, we actually went down to Mississippi to see Brother Pat, and if you don't know Brother Pat, then you probably ain't going to understand it, but we got Miss Amber to sing Amazing Grace, and I think she sung I wouldn't even put that off on the charismatic. She sung another version of Amazing Grace and had on these big old furry boots, and Brother Pat looked down at her and said, ha, 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 I'll tell you why you can't sing it, because them boots you got on. Sonny wore out. First time she ever met him. Amen. I said, well, you've met him, Miss Amber. That's him. And that's what you get with him. So Isaiah chapter 9, please. Isaiah chapter 9. Thank you so much for being here. People do look for every excuse in the world not to go to church, and they use Christmas Eve and Christmas. Some people think it's kind of odd to go to church on Christmas and Christmas Eve. I think it's odd not to. Amen. Well, some people just look for every reason in the world not to go to the house of God. And instead of looking for a reason to be there, most people look for reasons not to be there. If they ever get saved, they'll look for reasons to be there. Yep. Amen. 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 We know we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. I tell you, you want to be at the house of God when you get born again. And
right.
And I mean the house of God. Amen. That place where the brethren and the sisters meet out together with kindred spirits and like-minded faith and meet down at a place of public worship, amen, and worship together in spirit and in truth. I thank God for that. Some people, all they got is truth, and I thank God for the truth, but you can't just worship God in truth. Some people have only knowledge, and you can't worship God only in knowledge, but you must worship God in spirit and in truth, amen.
Right.
Thank God. And some people, all they have is spirit and just get it confused with emotions, and that's all that their worship involves, just a bunch of emotionalism, and God ain't within a million miles of that either.
Right.
Amen. And God ain't within a million miles of anything that ain't a local church.
Right.
Amen. That's what God ordained. That's what he died for. Amen. When they stuck that spear in his side and out came that blood and water, that was the birthing of the church. Amen. And I thank God for the church. And I'm glad Michael and them's made it to New York and they're safe and all that. So just continue to pray that God will bless them and their trip back home. I miss them. Amen. I don't miss them when they're not in the house of God. I miss the fact that just knowing that they're riding up the road leaving town, I start missing them then. And I love that family. It's a precious family. And one of the reasons why I want to make those announcements is because we are live on Facebook, and if they so happen to stumble on Facebook, they'll see that I lied and said nice things about them. I was actually in the bathroom when we started singing. I thought, man, you can tell the Asquiths ain't here today. Singing sounds pretty good. Man, if nobody else will appreciate that kind of stuff, the man that I'm referring to, Michael will appreciate it. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, the Bible says, I hear pages turning, so I'll pause. Matt, when's the last time you was here?
Last Christmas.
Old Eric's got saved since the last time you was here. Amen. Oh, boy, God, and you still saved? Amen. It's good. I've doubted a lot of things since I've been saved, Eric. I've doubted a lot of things about me, but I've never doubted that Jesus Christ was the Son of God.
Right.
I've doubted a lot of things since I've been saved, but I have never doubted, not one time has it ever even crossed my mind that Jesus Christ was not the Son of the living God.
Right.
Amen. Without a shadow of a doubt, I know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The Bible said in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Isn't that wonderful? It's something I've never practiced much at preaching, you know, seasonal or holiday type messages, but I've noticed in the last year or so that the Lord's let me do it more than I ever have even cared to. And I think it's a good thing here at this Christmas season to read something about the birth of Jesus Christ. The Bible said, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment
and with justice from henceforth even forever. Amen. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. I thank God for the promises that's in those two little verses right there. While part of those verses has already been fulfilled, part of them's already been fulfilled. It's been well over 2,000 years since some of them have yet to be filled. From the time this was made, this prophecy, it's been well over 2,000 years. While in the same verse, part of that prophecy has already been fulfilled. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ as a babe in a manger. That has been fulfilled. But the other stuff around all that has not been fulfilled yet. In other words, the government, ladies and gentlemen, is not upon his shoulder. No, that's yet to be fulfilled. I wish to goodness it was. I got to thinking when I read this kind of stuff, what kind of child, and I've thought often, what kind of child was Jesus? Now, I know, you know, just on the surface, we can name all them good things, you know, and he was not like any of our children because he didn't ever need a whipping.
Right.
Amen. Never was he like any of ours. Amen. He was a special child. And verse 6 said, the government shall be upon his shoulder. We know that at the present time, the government is not on his shoulder. And I know that God sets up leaders and he takes down leaders. And he even gives us leaders that will give us according to our ways. If you want to be a pervert, God will raise you up a Donald Trump. If America is engulfed with perversion. And by the way, I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but it seemed like every time we get a leader in the White House, whatever his deal is, it kind of manifests itself throughout the whole country. And I've noticed that in the last several years with our elections that it seems like that perversion is at an all-time high, and you got people in the White House that just are eat up with perversions. And it just flows throughout our country. God has, however, given us these leaders that have given us according to our ways. If you want wickedness, God will let you have a leader that will give you wickedness. That's what he said. He said, I will give every man according to his ways. A lot of people wonder why things are the way they are in their life. And my answer is because God has given you according to your ways. God knows your heart. God's tried your reins. He knows your heart better than anybody there is. And God has given you according to your ways. It's not God's will, ladies and gentlemen. Let me say this. The government's not upon his shoulder right now. It's never been God's will for well-bodied people to lay around and accept handouts from the government.
That's right.
Never. But yet we live in a society where that is okay and that is approved and the government has legalized that. And God has never okayed a well-bodied person to sit around, bless God, and just hold their hand out. What God has blessed is for a man to get up and go to work and make provision for his family. That's what God ordained. But now we've got a society that hardworking people can go to work, and a large part of your tax dollars, you as a hard worker, have to give people money to lay up in the bed and smoke pot on the porch and never hit a lick at a snake, and you get to pay for their pot. That's the government that we have, ladies and gentlemen. That's not God's government. God would never allow that to happen in his government. Oh, God will never allow that to happen in his government.
Right.
There won't be no handouts like that in God's government. People lay around, bless God, and have a bunch of youngins. And I got to say it, people lay around and have a bunch of youngins and expect the government to give them aid to help them. Hey, if I can't afford it, I ain't going to have them, amen. You know, one of my problems when I was married and I put off having children for several years, I said, I just can't afford children. My cousin said to me, he said, David, if you wait till you can afford children, you'll never have any children. But you know what God's done, Brother Zach? God has made provision for me and my family. It may not have always been top of the line of everything. Sometimes it was the bottom of the barrel. But God is faithful and always made provision. I never had to stand in a line. There's some people that does. There's some people that the man is so cotton-picking sorry that he packs up and leaves his wife with about four mouths to feed besides her own, and she ain't got no income. She needs help. I got no problems with that.
That's right.
I got no problems with that. And if the church would do its job, some of these people would be taken care of anyway. Some of these widow women would be very well taken care of. Instead of having to depend on Social Security, the church would be taking care of it. And God blesses that. One of the reasons why I believe Brother Harold Seitler was so blessed of God is because he took in orphans and widows and put them up and took care of them. And God blessed it. Man, God bless Brother Seitler for that. It's not God's will for people to live, bless God, well-bodied people to live with government handouts. Some of you taxpaying people, bless God, whether you're saved or lost, or just shout amen right there. Or it'll make you mad enough to say amen. It makes me mad enough whether I'm in the flesh or in the spirit. I can preach that in the flesh. You say, why, preacher? Well, that's all some of us is God anyhow. I said, if we're going to worship him, we're going to worship him in spirit and truth. Just in case I ain't in the spirit, Brother Zach, it's still the truth, amen. Still the truth. Amen. Let's God go to work. Preacher, I'm still struggling. Get another job. Man, work harder. They might give you a raise. Our society says, I ain't working harder till I get a raise. That's what our society said. Where I grew up, that mentality was, work hard so you can get a raise. Man, you want to... I remember one time asking for a raise. Just a teenage boy, I asked my boss man for a raise. He said, well, I tell you what, you can get in some overtime. That's what he told me, Steve Harry. He told me, you can get in some overtime. Yeah, instead of working 8-hour days, you can work 12-hour days. That's exactly right. Hey, man, that was time and a half. That was a pretty good raise. I thank God for them old boss men.
That's right.
Oh, you want more money? I'll give you more hours. You can work more. That wasn't what I wanted to hear. That wasn't what I wanted to hear, but it was the best thing he could have said.
That's right.
Man, I tell you what I found out, and this ain't got nothing to do with any of this. I tell you what I found out, and it's true. An idle mind is the devil's workshop. I tell you, when you ain't busy, your mind is just free to wander. You get into all kind of stupid stuff. You got all kind of stupid stuff going on inside your head. But if you're busy, it'll nip some of that stuff in the bud. I tell you, one of the reasons why sin is so rampant in our society, because people are so lazy, they ain't getting up doing it. If they get up and do something, they wouldn't have time to think about all this junk. Thank you, Mama. Thank God that an 80-some-year-old woman said amen. Or it'd be a bunch of young people shouting me on right now. Sort of like what Brother Zach said in Sunday school. We was halfway right with God. Oh, let me go ahead and make this statement. My grandpa made it through the Great Depression. Never did go to the government. My grandpa. Well, your grandpa. My grandpa had a bunch of mouths to feed. Never went to a handout from the government during the Great Depression. You know what he done? He hunkered down and went to work. Amen. Growed a couple more beans. Listen. Growed a couple more beans. That's right, buddy. Plowed a couple more rows. Grew a little more collards. I don't like collards. Bless God, you get hungry enough, you'll like them.
That's
right. It's a sport we can do. I don't like that. You know what happened to me with Miss Holly growing up? You didn't get to say what you liked. Hey, children, we didn't get to say what we liked, didn't like. What we liked was what was on the table. You like what was on the table, you got your hind end beat, you learned to like it.
Mama didn't run to McDonald's for this one, Burger King for that one, Little Richard's for the other one. Bless God, she put something on the table and you ate it or got your tail beat, and then you ate it with your tail bleeding.
That's right.
You learned to like it. Whether the eggs were cold or hot, you learned to like it. I learned to like them eggs when they were hot. I had to eat some one morning after I got my hind end beat. They was ice cold and they wasn't worth the hoot. Mama fixed some of that hominy. I used to think my mama would fix some foods. I thought, my mama hates me. Because I knew if I didn't eat it, I was going to get a whip, and then I was going to have to eat it. And so, yeah, we would take food and hide it. We had food. We had little cubby holes. We had benches. And them benches had 45-degree braces on them. We would stick food in them, hide our food. Say, preacher, that's a sin. I know, but I felt like getting a whipping was. You get the kind of whippings I got. I'd rather sin than to get that beaten. Preacher, you shouldn't say, I was a lost kid. I'd rather commit that sin than to get that beaten. It'd make mama think I ate that hominy. Go feed me okra. I used to think okra was like a snot bugger. Slimy, green. And I went, man, I ain't never liked no snot bugger. I ain't trying to eat. You watch it. Oh, slimy, green okra. And I went, man, it used to gross me out. Ain't no telling how much okra. They probably got okra growing in that house by now. Throw that okra in there. Now I love okra, Mom. I love it. As long as it's fried right. Can't be slimy. God. I've sat in this church and watched kids eat okra. I've seen them pull whole okra stalks out of their nose and look at it. Need me a puke bucket up here sometime. Don't eat it. Don't do it. Don't do it. You got to try to think about the Lord and preach on the Lord, and they out there eating them okras. Oh, help me, Jesus. You know, it's never been the will of God. It's never been in God's plan to legalize sodomy. But our government said it's okay. I'm just telling you, the government's not on his shoulders right now. Government's on the shoulder of some wicked men. God has taken this kingdom and he's turned it over into the hands of wicked men. And wicked men is making laws in our land and controlling our ways of thinking and our ways of life by their wickedness. Their imaginations never cease to amaze me. But I got good news, thank God. One of these days, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is going to roll up to that gate called Beautiful. And that gate's going to recognize him, and it's going to open up, and he's going to take over his throne. Amen. Once and for all. And the government finally will be upon his shoulders. He's going to rule and reign for 1,000 glorious, godly years. I mean, there ain't going to be no laws. There ain't going to be no rule. There ain't going to be no authority but the authority of God. Amen. He is going to have his say. He's going to straighten this mess out. Everything's going to be godly and holy and righteous. And God is going to take his rightful place. And there, while that 1,000-year millennial reign, that new heaven and that new earth is going to be established, and that thing's going to come into play. And after that millennial reign, thanks be to God, there'll be a new heaven and a new earth, and all there ever will be is the law of God. And once and for all, the government will be on his shoulder.
That's right. Amen.
Amen, son. He's going to straighten this mess out.
That's right.
Praise God, we think we're getting by with something today. I'm telling you, friend, the King of Kings is coming, and he is going to straighten this mess out. Amen. He's going to make the crooked way straight. Glory to God. He's going to make the rough places plain. I'm telling you, he's going to fix it all, and it's going to be his way, or there's going to be a rod of iron, son. God's going to fix it.
Amen.
There won't be no Donald Trumps and no Joe Bidens. I tell you where they're going to be, bless God. unless they get saved by the grace of God. All this wickedness will be dealt with. Let me let you in on a little secret. If you look at the Bible prophecy that's in this Bible, and this world, if you look at it and how all the prophecies are being fulfilled, the coming of the Lord ain't going to be much longer. I understand this much. There ain't another thing got to happen before the Lord is able to come. Everything that needed to happen has already happened. There ain't one thing that's hindering him from being able to come back today. And it's not going to be long, friend. I tell you, I can say that with my head held high. It's not going to be long before the King of Kings comes back.
Right.
Preacher, it might be another 2,000 years, I know. But bless God, me and you ain't going to be here. You ain't going to make it to 100, friend. This life ain't that long. I tell you, it's going to be gone before you know it. Think about just yesterday. We were just children playing. Having good times. And in the blink of an eye, here we are. Got responsibilities and bills and headaches and heartaches and all the troubles of life that come upon us. Well, we didn't have them in our childhood. Man, that stuff didn't last very long. Here we are now. Dear God, but Jesus, one of these days and very soon is coming back. And I would say, I would love for him to come back today. And I told Zach riding down the road the other day, I said, boy, I'd sure like for the Lord to come back. I said, but man, I got friends and loved ones that's going to die and go to hell. And the only one reason that I can think of why I don't want to see the Lord come back today is because people are going to die and go to hell. And it ain't just my friends and loved ones. It's a multitude of people that ain't even my friend. To those that are, listen to me, to those that are ready for the coming of the Lord, I say, keep your lamp trimmed and burning. Glory to God, man. Get full of the Holy Ghost and keep some oil in your lamp and keep that lamp trimmed and burning. The bridegroom's a-coming. Amen. It ain't going to be much longer.
Right.
For those of you that ain't ready, let me tell you something. You better quit blowing off God. You better quit counting God as absolutely nothing. Preacher, I don't do. Yeah, you do. Or bless God, you'd be saved and right with God. Quit blowing off God. Quit taking God so lightly. Quit putting God to the side. Quit putting God out of your mind. Quit putting God out of your thoughts. Quit putting God out of your life. Quit putting God. That's what you do. You put him off. You put him off. And you put him off. You say, how do you know, preacher? Because the invitation has already been given. Come, come, come. The master calleth. Come. Whatsoever he saith, do. Come, come. And I tell you, man, the reason people are going to hell is because they shunned Jesus.
Right.
He's invited everybody, whosoever will, let him come. Tell you something, you're not here today, bless God, because it's Christmas. I don't believe nobody's in the house of God today because of Christmas. I believe everybody's in the house of God today because of the drawing power of the Father.
That's right.
Man, you can't come to him except the Father draw you.
That's right.
I believe the only reason people ever do sit in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church is because of the drawing power of the Father. You might think, bless God, because it's Christmas or because it's Easter or because it's Mother's Day, that you're, no, friend, oh, no, oh, no. God knew long before there was ever a mother, your little sorry behind would be sitting in the house of God on this day.
Right.
Quit with your excuses. Quit with your lightheartedness, because I promise you the bridegroom is coming. Bridegroom's coming. And even if he ain't coming in our lifetime,
Just about every one of them, except for one, hanging on that wall is going to be with Jesus. Life, man. Life's just a vapor. Salvation ain't nothing to shun. Hell is real, and you better wake up and respond to God in a way that pleases Him. I've preached this kind of stuff all my life. I'm not trying to accept Jesus. I've never been one that accepted Jesus Christ. I tell you what my concern is, Brother Zach, that He accepts me.
Right.
I've always been concerned, does He accept me? Will He accept me? He's not on trial. The sinless Son of God is not up for acceptation. I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I received Him. But I've always accepted Him. But that ain't what's important. Have I been accepted of Him? I tell you, I prayed a many a prayers and I asked God to save me a many a times. But you know what happened? He never did accept those prayers. But thanks be to God, the night that I did get born again, it wasn't like any time I ever prayed. And it wasn't coming from a heart like I ever prayed from. But I tell you, it was a different kind of prayer. But I tell you what God done. He accepted my prayer that night. And He accepted me in the beloved. I've lived 56 years and it's flown by. 56 years. You know, I was laying in the bed the other night, Eric, and I was thinking, man, it's Christmas. I mean, it's Christmas. And it seems like just yesterday we was in Black Creek. That thought crossed my mind. It seemed like just yesterday. And you say, what does that mean? That was in July the 4th. It just seemed like a few days ago was July the 4th, and here we are already, and it's Christmas. Man, how time flies. And you think about what's happened in your life. What has Jesus meant in your life from July the 4th until December the 25th? What difference has Jesus made in your life from July the 4th to December the 25th? I laid in my bed the other night thinking, man, how time flies and how little I can think of what I've done for Jesus since July the 4th. I want you to think about something. In 1 million years from now, you will be somewhere.
That's right.
And then once that 1 million years is up, in another 1 million years, you will still be somewhere.
Right.
And with that thought, stop and think, where will I be in 1 million years? If I were to die today in the condition that I'm in the frame of heart that I'm in, where would I be in 1 million years? And if I'm there for 1 million years from now, where am I going to be in the next million, and the next million, and the next million, for all eternity, without end, forever and ever and forever, for millions and millions and millions of years? My wife just showed me a picture of my brother-in-law's daddy that was burning leaves, Eric, and he's a diabetic and drunk and just all this. You know, skin's already pickled from the alcohol and diabetes and flowing through his veins. And he got fourth degree burns on his legs from burning leaves. And when she showed me a picture of it, because they took a picture of him in the hospital, when they showed me a picture of it, I literally could not identify what it even was. I just knew whatever I was looking at was gross. And I didn't know for sure what it even was until they told me, that's Dumpy with fourth degree burns on his leg. And there he is laid up in the hospital. And my mind, just as carnal and simple minded or shallow as I am, my mind immediately went, what are these people going to do in hell for all eternity? There's not going to be a hospital to go to. There's not going to be a pain pill to take.
Right.
There's not going to be a doctor to come by your side. There's not going to be any aloe. There's not going to be any relief. And I thought, man, this ain't nothing but a fourth degree burn. Can you imagine where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not for all eternity? For all eternity. And yet we shun it. It's not real for some reason, Miss Holly, to people. It's not real.
That's right.
People don't really believe that. I thought, what's that man going to do? Because based on his testimony, that man's lost and he's old and he ain't going to live much longer. And I thought, based on his testimony, what's he going to do? My mama said to me, it said, seemed like an old boy would think about that and run to God, don't it? Seemed like it would. You know, it seemed like common sense would tell you, man, this is bad. And hell's going to be so much worse than this. I'm not going to find any relief. It's forever. Our text says this. Well, not our text, but a verse says this. That Jesus Christ is a man with a good name. The Bible teaches us that he's a man with a good name. Why is Jesus' name so good? Why is it that we hold his name up above? What a lovely name, the name of Jesus. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing. It's millions of songs. Millions of lyrics about the names of Jesus, the name of Jesus. Why is it so special? I'll tell you why it's so special. Because of his word.
That's right.
The Bible said a man's name teaches us that a man's name is only as good as his word.
Right.
I'm going to tell you why the name of Jesus is so special. Because he keeps his word.
That's right. Amen.
His word is special. He's never one time contradicted that word.
That's right.
He is the word.
Amen.
He's kept his word. How many songs have been written? How many sermons have been preached about this name Jesus? Here's what the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2. And God have highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, of things in earth. Listen, you know what I want to do, Brother Zach? If I preach my message in Sunday school, I want to bow to him on earth. You understand? I want to go ahead and just call him Lord today. Amen. I'm glad. I don't give a flip what the Baptists say. I don't care what the heretics say. Jesus Christ is Lord. And before I ever even had to bow my knee on the other side, I want to bow my knee here and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And he's Lord now.
Amen.
If you get a smart, blessed God that Jesus Christ ain't Lord, you're stupid. If you get that smart, you're smarter than God. Bible said that Jesus Christ is Lord. And yet, we have people today denouncing the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I believe in the Lordship of Jesus Christ.
Right.
I believe Jesus Christ is the master.
Right.
I believe when you get saved, he's the boss. I believe he's the owner. Amen. Got no problems with that. People with sin in their life have problems with that.
Right.
People trying to live right don't have no problem with that.
Right.
Not perfect, but I try to live right. I want you to hear what that verse said. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven. And then he said, and things in earth. Not on earth. In earth means in hell. That's in the earth. And the heart of the earth is hell. And God is going to raise them up. And they're going to bow their knee. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. God will be glorified by every person that ever lives or ever will live, whether they go to heaven or whether they go to hell. God's going to get the glory out of their life. If he has to snatch them up out of hell and bring them before the throne of Christ and let them bow their knee and confess that you are Lord to the glory of God the Father, God's going to get glory out of them.
Amen.
He said in things in earth, and then he said in things under the earth. Well,
Preacher, I thought you said in earth was hell. It is. That under the earth is the outer darkness. Oh, yeah. That's the outer darkness, buddy. God's going to call them out of the outer darkness, out of the pits of hell. There's not going to be a person that will escape. Do you think it's something for God to do that when God can scoop up a handful of dirt and breathe into its nostrils and that become a living soul? It's nothing for God. It's nothing for Him. I said His name is good because He's always kept His word. And His word said that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ. He's going to keep His word.
Right.
Doesn't matter where you are. Everybody ever died and went to hell. Brother Zach said this morning, at some point or other, you're going to bow. And that's exactly right. If God has to snatch you out of hell long enough to bow, say, preacher, that'll be a relief. Oh, what a relief that's going to be. Just to be able to turn around and to be cast forever into the lake of fire. There'll be no relief. I say I've lived on both sides of the fence and I've experienced what the world calls good. Not proud. I hadn't went but so far, but I went far enough to know, bless God, the pleasures of sin is not good. There ain't nothing good about it. You know the devil's a liar and the father of all lies. Isn't it amazing that people want to just go ahead and live according to the flesh? That's exactly what the devil wants. And he's got them convinced that living for God is a bore, is a drag, is a misfit. You're going to miss out on things. That's a lie to hell, friend.
That's right.
Never missed out on nothing but some hospital bills, lawyer fees, and court costs. Missed out on a few hangovers. That's a real drag, ain't it? It's a real drag, bless God, not to have to go steal something from the Lowe's to support my house. Ain't that a drag, bless God, not to have to go to Lowe's and steal some Sawzalls so that you can have pleasure today? I don't miss that junk, friend. I don't miss out on that. It's good, bless God, to be able to go to work and make an honest pay. And thank God, be able to go to a store and buy what you need. Just at the end of the day, get on your face and thank a holy God for making provision another day. Food on my table, roof over my head, clothes on my back, cars in my driveway. God has been good to me. I ain't got no outstanding lawyer fees. I'm telling you, I ain't got no court dates. I ain't missing out on nothing. I tell you, thank God I can get up in the morning and I can pillow my head at night. I can have the peace of God that passeth understanding. I can have the joy of the Lord. I got a little spring in my step and a song in my heart. I ain't missing on nothing. God's been good to me.
That's right. Amen.
I'd rather have Jesus, you hear me, than all the money in the world. I'd rather have Jesus than fame. I'd rather have Jesus than fortune. I'd rather, bless God, be a pauper and live for God than to be a billionaire on top of this world on my way to hell. I'd rather have Jesus.
Amen.
It's good to know Him. Stupid. Lived on both sides of this fence. Nothing good about being lost. I still rather have Jesus than anything.
That's right.
Hebrews chapter 1 verse 10 and 12 says this. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth. And the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. And they all shall wax old, as does a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But I like this. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. God don't change. Amen. He's just as good today as he ever was, and he's just as God today as he ever was. He's just as real today as he ever was. He's just as present as he ever was, and he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. I ain't got to worry if he's going to be there tomorrow. I ain't got to worry if he's going to make provision. I don't have to worry about that. I don't have to worry about tomorrow. For I know who holds tomorrow. Amen. Amen. The Lord has been proved, tested. Amen, improved. He's more real to me. Thank God, son, he's more real to me than the clothes on my back. And they pretty real. He's more real to me than the car that I drove to church. Amen. Preacher, now that's really something. You really special. No, Miss Hammer, I just got enough old country boy common sense to know that one of these days these clothes, these fabrics will be in the garbage somewhere, and that old chunk of metal will be out in a junkyard. But he'll remain. He'll still be on his throne. He'll still be in control. He's still coming back. He's still good. He's still God. He's still faithful. I'm telling you, friend, when all this world passes away, God will stand, amen. Yes, he'll stand. When everything, bless God, this world is aiming for and shooting for and working for and striving for, when that junk fails and falters and fades away, there's going to be a God in heaven out of sitting on his throne that remains faithful. I tell you, everything's going to pass away, but heaven and earth may pass away, but my word shall never pass away. Forever, O Lord. Forever, 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 O Lord. Thy word is settled in heaven. It's good to know Jesus. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He is the word.
Amen.
And he shall remain.
Right.
Wonderful. Sir, our text in Isaiah said, he'll be called wonderful. Amen. Well, you know me, I had to look these words up. I said, what is wonderful? Well, I know we got a general idea, but I like digging. Wonderful means it excites wonder. Amen. It excites wonder. Wonder means, as an adjective, it means wondrous. It means marvelous. It means exceeding. As a noun, it means wonderfulness is the object of astonishment. Wonder why they say we're going to call him wonderful. I tell you, friend, he is my object of astonishment. There ain't much in this world astonishes me. There just ain't much in this world that takes me over to that level. But I tell you, I can be reading that Bible, and I'm just astonished. Amen. I get to run into Jesus every once in a while. Jesus will come step into something in my life. And I tell you, I ain't nothing less than astonished.
That's right.
Man, I've seen him do what nobody could do. Let me ask you a question. Why is he so wonderful? Why is he so wonderful? That means that he's full of wonder. I had a whole lot of stuff I was thinking about. Can't remember. That's okay. The Lord don't want me to remember it, apparently. But let me ask you a question. Ain't you astonished at the grace of God? Don't you marvel at the grace of God? It's a marvel to me.
Amen.
And the grace of God is wonderful. The grace of God is exciting. Sure it is. Hallelujah. I mean, if you get to thinking about what you are,
And I thought about what I was, and I thought about who he was, and I got to think about what he's done for me, and why did he do it? Because of his grace. The grace of God in my life is absolutely wonderful. And I get to thinking, man, no wonder he's wonderful. Right. Because he's graceful. Amen. He's gracious. When I deserved to be in hell, God was merciful and gracious to me, a sinner. Instead of giving me what I deserved, I found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's wonderful to me.
Right.
That astonishes me. When I get to think about what am I, that he's mindful of me. And I get to think about the grace of God in my life, it astonishes me. That God would show me grace. That God would be gracious to me. And give me faith. What a wonder. What a wonder. It's wonderful. The best that we deserve is hell. But God in his grace made a way for us to be redeemed. And I think that's astonishing. That God made a way for me to be redeemed. That old Adamic nature could be reversed. God could take me out of the mouth of the lion and put me in the hands of the lamb. Isn't it wonderful?
Amen.
I can remember the fool that I was. I remember some of the frowardness, Brother Zach, in my lips. I remember some of the statements that I made when I was lost. I remember some of the stupid and foolish charges that I made against a holy God. And to stop and think that God was gracious to me, it's a wonder to me that I'll never understand. Think about what a fool I've been, and to think that God has been gracious to me. That's a wonder that I'll never understand. Watch what Psalms 40 and verse 5 says. I like the verses. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. They're more than can be numbered. You say, what is it? That's the wondrous works that God has put in our life. You can't even begin to count them. You cannot count the good things that God has done for us. No wonder they called him wonderful. I don't know about you. Well, I can tell a little bit. It's not hard, Miss Holly, sometimes when you're talking about how wonderful he is, when you look at people's face and they look miserable as hell. Too much. Thank you, Nate. Praise God, son. He ain't backslid. You can tell by the look on people's face how much they love him, Brother Zach. When you start bragging on him and talking about how wonderful he is, and they look like, man, I needed 15 more minutes on that snooze button this morning. It took me an hour and a half to get through the house of God this morning. And when I got here, I understood the psalmist. I was glad to be in the house of God.
That's right.
You can tell sometimes by the level of excitement about services that how amazed people are over the goodness of God. Not very excited. And I'm not so excited about the fact that, and I do thank God for the fact that he is love. But I tell you what amazes me is that he that who is love loves me. That's what amazes me. It doesn't amaze me that he's love. That's God. That's not very astonishing. God is love, okay? And I like that. And thank God for that. And I shout for that. But what blows my mind is that he would love me. Blows my mind.
We can put our little church clothes on. We can leave our comfortable houses, hop in our nice vehicles, and drive down the road. If you're not real careful, you can ride through town. You can see some old guy over there that's steeped in sin. His life is ravished with sin. It don't take long to ride down the interstate and look on the exit over there and see some old blue tarps draped between the trees. I was thinking for the last couple days, I'm sure glad not to be sleeping in a tent outside tonight. I'm sure glad I'm not underneath an old tarp.
That's right.
And a tarp is real good. Some people ain't got nothing but a box. I'm glad I wasn't sleeping in a cardboard box last night. Them lives are ravished by sin. Sin has got them by the nostrils and it's dragging them through the cesspool of life. And here's what I've come to realize, Brother Zach, that God don't love me a drop in the bucket more than he loves any one of them people in a box today.
That's right.
That amazes me. When you look out there on them in them gutters of this world and you see those people and they're addicts and they're alcoholics and they're prostitutes and just the off-scaring of this world, and you look at that life and say, God loves them. God loves them as much as he loves anybody. God loves them people as much as he loved D.L. Moody. God loves them people as much as he loved Charles Spurgeon. As much as he loved Jonathan Edwards. As much as he loved them Wesley brothers. God loves them hobos over there. It's not his will that those people perish, but it's his will that they come to repentance and believe the gospel. It's not his will that they die in that condition and go to hell. That's a farce, man, out of hell. Do you understand me? The devil's bamboozled them. The devil's laid his claws into their flesh. He's going to drag their souls to hell. But Jesus Christ came and died to make them free.
Yeah.
Why did he do that? Because he loved them.
That's right.
The love of God amazes me, Brother Zach. Yeah. When you look out there and you see people pissing on your American flag, there ain't nothing that'll make my blood boil any faster than to see people desecrate the American flag. God loves that person desecrating the American flag.
Right.
When you see two men walking down the street holding hands, there's nothing much sicker in my life than that. There's nothing more repulsive than to see two men smooched up on each other. But while those two men are smooched up on each other, there's a soul that God loves in those men.
Right.
That amazes me. If I was God, I'd put people in hell yesterday. If I was God, I'd blow people's brains out. If I was God, I'd condemn them to hell. If I was God, I would never give them another chance. But there's a God of love that's sitting on that throne that's very long-suffering to us.
That's right.
Because he loves us.
Amen.
Preacher, I ain't stooped like that. You know, Miss Holly, I've all my life, since I've been saved, I realize some of the biggest idiots in the world is those that's full of religion. Those that don't smoke, don't drink, don't cuss, don't tell dirty jokes. They wear dresses, they wear long pants, they cut their hair, they do everything right. They work their 40-hour jobs, they pay their bills, they pay their taxes, and they got them a little bit of a religion, and God loves them too.
That's right.
That self-righteous crowd, God loves them too. And there ain't nothing makes me any madder than a self-righteous jerk. It's a sickening. If I was God, I'd put that sucker in hell yesterday. You bunch of self-righteous suckers think that you're going to do some good deeds and win favor with me. You're not going to win no favor with me. By what you wear and the way you portray yourself. I do believe God honors right, modest apparel. But that ain't the way to God. That ain't the way to God. Broken heart and a contrite spirit is what he doesn't despise, buddy. Man. God hem you up. God hem you up in the wrong attire. And when you get right with God, hey, you'll get the right attire.
Right.
What you get on the inside will gush out on the outside. Amen. And God is interested in your appearance. Otherwise, bless God, those Old Testament high priests could have wore blue jeans. God's very interested in what we wear. Bunch of idiots today sitting around, got sin in their life. Double married preachers, bless God, trying to sit around and justify their wicked lifestyle and throw off on the modest apparel. God's very interested in what we wear. That's Bible. It's all in your Bible. I'm just telling you about God. I ain't talking about me. Preacher put on Facebook the other day. Any of y'all see or hear anything out there about me on Facebook, just know that I'm an idiot. Preacher put on Facebook the other day, he's done got rid of his wife and got him another one. And I like the old boy, but he said, what was it he said?
I'd rather listen to a preacher full of the Holy Ghost in a sweatshirt and blue jeans.
Yeah, he said, I'd rather listen to a spirit-filled preacher in a sweatshirt and hoodie, a blue jeans, than one that ain't in a nice suit. And because they want to see these little hippie Jesuses. You know how the little weirdos go to church today with their little gay boots on and their blue jeans and their shirts untucked and they got their little sports jackets on. They ain't wearing no tie. They're cool in their hip and they're representing the King of Kings. Could you imagine a high priest entering into the most holy place like that? God would have killed that sucker. I mean, bless God, if one of the jewels fell off of his garments, God would have killed him. If just one of the jewels would have fell off, he'd have died in the presence of the holiness of God. Better be concerned. So I responded. I said, I'd rather hear a preacher and I'd rather hear a good-looking woman in a thong preach. Then whatever I said. But I said, I'd rather hear a good-looking woman in a thong. Why can't? Hey, listen. Where does it end? If we change Jesus to this, bring him to this level, and everybody just jee-haw and go along and just throw that chunk of the Bible out. And hey, if you're lost today, you are under the law of God. You better embrace it, love it, and live it, amen. Because I tell you, we're under the law if we're not saved.
That's right.
And I love the law of God. It's the schoolmaster. The law, the precious, wonderful, loving law of God is what brought me to Jesus Christ. I'm not going to say anything against the law of God. Thank God for it.
Right.
If it wasn't for the law of God, Dodo, you couldn't even walk out on your front porch stoop without somebody being mad at you and blowing your brains out. Thank God for the law of God.
Right.
Every civil law known to man today came from God. It's not legal to steal. It's not legal to kill. It's not legal to do. All these civil laws come from God. Thank God. I'm living under those laws in the good grace of God. Amen. Well, it isn't amazing. Where does this stuff end? Let these little jerks, because of sin in life, get by with saying things. My dear God, man, truth be known, he'd rather hear a woman too without the Holy Ghost in a phone. If he's a man with a drop of flesh about him, he don't mind too much. His flesh don't mind a woman in a phone speaking to him. He just don't. That's his own wicked flesh. She don't even have to look good, bless God. She can be 300 pounds without a tooth in her head. But if she gums you a little bit, smiles at you, you're going to think, your stupid flesh, I think she likes you. That big old fat girl without teeth, she likes me. No, she probably thinks you're a goon. And the little girl, that big old girl over there with them tattoos on her eyebrows and everything else, she can hand you your change back up there at the sheet store, and her hand can rub your, when she puts that money, her flesh can rub the palm of your hand, and your little wicked fleshly mind will say, she wants me.
That's right.
And they worried about a preacher wearing a tie.
That's right.
I'm going to wear one now, bless God, if the hair lifts the devil, because this bunch of old loose crowd living in sin don't like them.
So preacher, you shouldn't say, I'm going to do things to spite people. I'm going to do things to spite the devil. Ain't no sin in that. No sin in that. You follow this crowd around today, and I don't mean to get off of you. You follow this crowd around today, you're going to find out one thing. There's no holiness.
That's right.
And that's what they're shunning, holiness. Yes. That's what they've abandoned, holiness. You follow them around, bless God, they ain't no holiness. Testimonies like a bunch of skunks. It stinks. Isaiah 53:6 says this. Listen, I don't care if he's steeped in sodomy. I don't care if he's steeped in dope. I don't care if he's steeped in alcohol. I don't care what they steeped in. I don't care what sin has ravished their life. The Bible said, all we like sheep have gone astray.
That's right.
We have turned everyone to his own way. Isn't that something? Everybody's turned to their own ways. This is what I want. Don't you forget, old boy, God's going to have to snatch you up one of these days. And no matter what you want, you're going to bow before Jesus, the King of Kings, and your tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. God's going to get glory out of you one way or another. The Bible said, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. A famous verse, the Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I like it. Don't judge me. You know what they're asking for? Don't condemn me. I don't want your condemnation. Can I be honest with you? They're already condemned.
That's right.
You're already condemned. If you ain't believe Jesus, you're condemned already because you ain't believed him.
Right.
That's the condemnation. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. They're condemned already. God sent not a sinner to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. They're condemned already. He came to uncondemn them. Why? Because he loved them. Man, isn't that wonderful? God loves us. He's wonderful because it's a wonder why he would love any of us. I know we think more of some people than others. You know, well, this person deserves. Nope, there's not a person that deserves the love of God. And that makes it a wonder to me. I love my wife. She loves me. Spoils me. Takes care of me. Spoils me, son. Goes above and beyond. She can find out something that I like. She's going to break her neck to make sure I got it. You okay over there, Miss Holly? Man. They got these little old juices over there in Winston-Salem at the juice shop. Man, I love them things. I mean, I love them. And my wife would show up, Steve, there's some good honest before God. I thought, I want to be good to my brother. I want her to bring two of them home, and I'm going to eat one, I'm going to drink one, and I'm going to take one to work. And she started bringing two home. I forgot your name. I said, forget that sucker. He's both of mine. I ain't lying. Man, I want my brother to have one of these. I want my brother to have one of these. She brought two of them things home. I forgot who he was. I said, I didn't even think about you. I know. Nobody cares about him. They got crushed ice in them where they take and blend it, and it's almost like a slushy. And if you wait too long, that snow, that ice melts, and it ain't nothing but just a thick, like, syrupy drink. So you got to get it when the ice is in it. And usually by the time my wife leaves Winston-Salem and gets home in 3 hours, the ice is about melted. Quit nodding your head, Miss Amber. Like my wife takes 3 or 4 hours to come home from Winston-Salem. I love my mama. She loves me. I think.
I told her to come here. This, I said, Mama, come here. I had her something. I said, come here, Mama. And she seen my brother come over to her. She turned her head from me. I said, well, I don't compare. But if nobody else ever did or does love me, Jesus loves me. This I know.
That's right.
For the Bible tells me so.
Amen.
That little old song, so precious, man. If nobody else loves you, you can count on one thing. Jesus loves you.
Right.
Wonder why that name's so wonderful. You okay? Wonder why that name's so wonderful. There's not another name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
That's right.
I've done that. No wonder it's wonderful. Only at the name of Jesus, the only name given among men whereby we must be saved. His name is wonderful. You know what happened when I got lost and I wound her down, I quit. I'm not even going to go to the next word or even the next thought. What happened to me when I got lost is, Brother Eric, me and you went through your conversion together. And I cherish it. Wouldn't take nothing in the world for us. A precious time in my life. And I know that you can bear witness with most of what I'm going to say. But I never saw me like I saw me that day. I never saw the filth like I saw it that day. I never saw my fakeness like I saw it that day. I didn't even want to go hear the preacher. He was fake. He was a Sammy Allen wannabe. He mimicked everything Sammy done, and it made me sick. And you know what God done, Miss Amber? He set me down underneath that fake preacher. And God showed me what a fake I was. And there in my heart, I criticized that man for being a fake. And God put his finger in my heart and said, yeah, but you're a fake too.
That's right.
Never seen it like that. Amen. Never seen my fakeness. I never seen my perversion like I seen it that day. I never seen my lust like I seen it that day. Listen, I got up and got out of church. I got up and walked out. And I told God, I said, God, if you'll let me make it home, I said, I'll do business with you. I'm not trying to make a deal with you. I just don't want to go down there and have somebody come jump on top of me and do all that motion again. I done been through that stuff so many times. I just want to go somewhere and get along with you. And I remember riding home that night in the car, me and my wife, and I remember thinking, I'm going to die and go to hell before I get home. And I remember riding down the road, and I was on I-40, passing that rest area right there in Davie County where you always smell that cow farm, cow manure. And I remember praying along them lines, going, God, please let me make it home. Please let me make it home. Don't let me die before I get home. Begging God within myself, Brother Zach, not praying out loud, just within myself, praying, begging God, let me make it home. I'll do business with you. I saw the sin that I was and wondered how somebody like Jesus could ever love somebody like me. And here's what happened, Miss Holly. It's not because of some man said so, but God's word said so. And God's always kept his word. The night that I begged God to have mercy on my soul, it was accepted. And I'm astonished. That new birth astonishes me.
That's right.
I remember preaching in one of the many prison doors that were open for me in Florida. There was a prison beside of Rayford, Florida State Penitentiary down there. And it was people that, youthful offenders. And they were waiting to turn
18 to be put into Rayford next door. And I was down there preaching one night, and I was preaching something along these lines about the love of God. And I noticed one of the boys in the congregation began to weep. And he was probably 17, 18 years old. But he began to weep. And I finished my sermon and dismissed. And as I dismissed and everybody went out the back, he made his way up and sat right there. And I went down there to him, and he had his face in his hands, just crying uncontrollably, just crying. I said, "Young man, what's going on?" He said, "Preacher, I don't know how God could love somebody like me." I said, "Well, that's the wonder of it all." He said, "No, preacher, you don't understand." He said, the crimes that I've committed are so brutal and so vile and so wicked. He said, "I don't know how God can love somebody like me." You know, it's good to know Jesus. It's good to know a couple things about the Bible. It's good that you can put your arm around an old vile sinner like that and go, "You know what, man? He don't love what you've done, but he loves your soul."
That's right.
And if you're willing to repent, God's willing to forgive you. And yes, you're going to probably have to spend the rest of your life right here in this prison somewhere. But I promise you one thing, you can live your life behind these bars a free man. He said, "Preacher, what must I do to know this Jesus? What I got to do?" I told him what the Bible said, and the old boy said he got saved.
And I thought, how could God, it's a wonder to me, how God can take a young man that raped and killed his own mama and then turn from his mama as his grandma walks in the room, grab his grandma and kill her with his own hands. A teenage boy, Brother Zion, raped and murdered his own mom and turned and killed his own grandma. And him sitting there weeping, how can God love somebody like me? God loves that old boy.
That's right.
I'm glad that I don't have a God that I had to get up, walk away, and leave him empty-handed, that I was able to tell him what the Bible says about his sin and his soul, and come to see that boy know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior.
That's right.
I may never get to see that man on the outside, but if that man got born again, I'll get to see him in heaven one day.
That's right.
That's a wonder to me.
That's right.
No wonder they called him wonderful.
Amen.
It ain't no wonder. Some of y'all here today, you don't know him as wonderful. There's people in this building who do not know him as wonderful. Some of you do. Thank God for that. But some don't. But I want you to know you can. He wants you to. I've been singing since last night in my spirit. Isn't he wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Just riding down the road, Nate. And that joy bell ringing in my soul, that isn't he wonderful, wonderful. I'm glad he's wonderful to me.
That's right.
I'm glad he's a wonder to me.
Amen.
His love is wonderful.
That's right.
His grace is wonderful. His mercy is wonderful. His salvation is wonderful. His word is wonderful.
Amen.
His promises are wonderful. His faith is wonderful. Everything is wonderful. I don't have to make it. I don't have to pump it. I don't have to prime it. I'm going to stand down here. Let me read this to you. I want you to see how wonderful this is. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be.
And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever.
Amen.
And of his kingdom there shall be no end.
Right.
Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost. Don't put the emphasis on Mary. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God.
That's right.
His birth is a wonder.
That's right.
There ain't nobody ever been born like Jesus. Me and Brother McVay had us a big time rejoicing. We were discussing this thought. God's going to create something new. The Bible says, the prophet told us way back before it happened, God's going to create something new. What did God create? He created a woman having a child without a man.
That's right.
What a wonderful creation.
And it wasn't so much of Mary. Yeah, she found favor, buddy. She was a good girl. But I tell you what did it.
It was the Holy Ghost and the power of the Most High overshadowing her.
And the Holy Ghost put the seed of God in that woman.
Right.
And she conceived and brought forth a son, and they called him Jesus. And I thought, man, even his birth is a wonder.
Right.
It's no wonder they called him wonderful. Father, thank you for this day. Lord, thank you just for being wonderful, what all that means. Help us, dear God, to appreciate you more and more, God, especially during this holiday season. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.